So I want to start out tonight by asking you guys to help me out preach this message and tell me what do you guys think it means to you to be a part of this body? For those of you who have been here for a while, what does it mean? Any thoughts? Paul.
Broken pieces made whole. I just like broken pieces coming together and made whole.
Nice. He cheated off my notes. Who else? Who else? Who else? Lana.
Stability and foundation.
Stability and foundation. Bree?
Accountability.
Who else? Other thoughts. Mosaic. What does it mean to be a part of this body of Christ? Tiff.
Serving in the church.
What else?
Serving here in the church.
Serving here. Who else? Anybody else? Who said that? Ty. Coming home. I love it. I love it. All totally, totally true. For me, when I, it's been about 2 years, but when I first discovered Mosaic Church, one thing that stood out to me as the most incredible thing of this particular church and body of Christ is that, man, we put a high emphasis on freedom in Christ Jesus. It was one of the first things I recognized and I realized when I heard Renaud preach out of the book of Leviticus. He couldn't have picked a more boring book of the Bible to preach out of for my first Sunday here. But I remember him saying these words, and you guys, most of you could repeat them with me, but if we do things God's way, it leads us to... I love it. Life and freedom. But if we do things our way, it turns into death and destruction. But what I loved about this particular church is that we place such a high emphasis on freedom in Christ Jesus. And really, that's what it's all about. And I also love that we put a very, very low emphasis on the traditions of men. I mean, think about it. Our church services start at what time? You know, 6:02 p.m., right? 11:32 a.m., 10:02 a.m. Why? Who knows? Because we can, you know? Like, because it doesn't matter why. It's just because we can, because maybe because nobody's done it before or whatever it may be. But we do things differently here at Mosaic Church. And I love that. I love that about this church. I mean, our pastor preaches in flip-flops. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty sweet. So I don't have to worry about, you know, getting tied up and all that kind of stuff when I come here. It's awesome. So I love this church. I love this community. I love this body. And it's because we place a high importance on the freedom that we have in Jesus and a low importance on the traditions of men. Just one more question. What do you guys think if you were to run into just maybe a friend of yours who's not a believer, what are some of the reasons that people who are not believers that are turned off to the church have issues with the church as a whole? Any thoughts?
Always asking for money.
Always asking for money. Yes.
Hypocrisy.
Judgment. What else? Judgment. Any other ideas? Right on. John.
Passion.
I'm sorry?
Lack of passion.
Absolutely. You know, there really is a big, big difference when you start looking at the authentic Christianity that we experience as a community and some of the things that many people have experienced in the church as a whole, and it's sad. It's honestly very sad. What's interesting to me is that it's not new. This is not a new dynamic. For thousands of years, actually, there's been a big difference between authentic relationship with God and institutionalized religion. And so I want to dive into that just a little bit tonight. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible or you don't have one, go ahead and grab one of ours. It's under your seat. If you don't have a Bible or don't have one, grab one of ours. We're going to go to page 695 of our Bibles. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. It's a story about Jesus. Another time, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, Stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they may kill Jesus. You know, 400 years before Jesus came to the earth, it's called the Age of Silence. It's the time between the Testaments. You know, it was God's intention that he would have an organic, beautiful relationship with his people, that he would be their God and they would be his people. These are the Jews. Unfortunately, during the time between the Testaments, there was a group of people that rose up and took charge of the whole deal, and they were called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were always ticked off at Jesus. Why? Because Jesus came to the earth bringing the one thing that the Pharisees did not have their hands around, and that was a real relationship with a real God. And every time Jesus did some sort of a miracle, it always bugged them because they could not control that. They could control all the other people with all of their religious laws and all of their extra things that they put on top of the Bible, but they couldn't control a real, authentic relationship with God. And it ended up getting Jesus killed. This type of a story is repeated over and over and over again in the New Testament, where the Pharisees would try to trap Jesus in something and he would do something amazing that would amaze all the people and anger all the Pharisees a whole lot. And so it's so interesting to me that really there's very little difference between the time that Jesus lived and the time that we see today. The difference between a place that we can call home, the difference between a place that we can call authentic, the difference between a place we can say we have accountability, and a place where there's hypocrisy versus a place where there's, you know, judgment, versus a place where there's no life and there's only death. You know, when Jesus was living, these Pharisees, instead of saying, yeah, Jesus, do your thing, bring life to broken people, they said, don't heal during certain times, don't touch the unloved, don't forgive sinners. But Jesus is saying, hey, I've come to heal the sick. I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. I've come to set the captives free. And that is the type of church community that we should be, that you and I should be. And that's what I love about Mosaic, because it is that type of community. It's a place where we can call home, and it's a place where we can be accountable. It's a place that we can see freedom. And since Paul stole some of my notes, I'll go ahead and go to the part that he talked about. When I had started coming here and began to really fall in love with this community, I asked Renaud. I said, man, why did you call this church Mosaic? Why Mosaic? You know, I barely knew what a mosaic was because I'm not like the biggest artist in the world or whatever. And it's always funny to me, like anytime someone asks me, what church do you go to? And I say Mosaic, and they're always like, what's that? You know, either it's like, what's that? Or is that part of like the law of Moses or something of that nature? Like it's never like, oh yeah, the type of art where you put pieces together. You know what I mean? So I asked Renaud, I said, what's the reason for Mosaic? And he said to me, you know, the reason why we wanted to call the church Mosaic is because a mosaic is a group of broken pieces that come together and they form a beautiful piece of art that reflects the glory of God. And that's why he named it Mosaic. And I said, man, I love that. I love that idea that there are these broken pieces that come together to proclaim the glory of God to the world. It's so awesome to me. Now, the key here is that we're talking about broken pieces. You know, a lot of the reason why you hear words like hypocrisy and things like that when we talk about institutionalized religion is because in institutionalized religion, we expect you to walk here perfect. with your stuff together, you know, looking good, smelling good, talking good, acting good, smiling right. You know what I'm saying? You guys have all been there. I've been there. I know that we've all been there. And that's totally not what God has called us to. It's not even close to what God has called us to. In fact, if we really, really had it together and we really had everything right and straight, what need do we have of Jesus? What need do we have of the cross? And that's why he gave us all the laws and all those things that we could never measure up to so that he could demonstrate to us we are not perfect. That's the big idea. We're not perfect. We're messed up, right? And so I love the idea of this mosaic, that a group of broken people come together to display Jesus Christ to the world. That's the kind of deal I want to be a part of. You know, this in the morning services, Rick has been just sharing what it is to play our part and what it is to be in our sweet spot here at this church. What I want to really, really key in on is the reality that, yes, like, it is super, super important for us to play our part, and the reality that if we try to get all of our stuff straight and all of our stuff together, okay, I got to make sure that I'm not, you know, saying bad words. I got to make sure that I'm not blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure that I'm, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. And then once I have all these things taken care of, then I'll invest myself into community. Then I'll invest my life into the local church. Then I'll play my part in the bigger picture. But that's the lie. That's the lie of the enemy that says you got to have everything straight before you come here. Because if that's the truth, none of us will ever get here. Like, it won't happen. I know it won't happen for me. So we remember that, yes, like, we are a group of broken, jacked up people that really, really, really need a Savior, and we need each other. That's so important for us to grasp onto. It's so important for us to realize. And if we don't realize that about ourselves, we'll never be the place where people can come in and they can see, man, I'm broken, I'm messed up, I have issues, I struggle with this and this and this and this, but I see life and freedom here, and so I'm just gonna throw myself in. That's the type of place I wanna be. I wanna be the church where broken, messed up people just like me feel comfortable, right? But the reality is so often we have painted this picture of perfection and tried to put on our perfect face and tried to put on our perfect smile so that nobody thinks that we've got anything going on in our life. And so because we portray that image to other people, people who are honest with themselves and say, I'm messed up, don't feel comfortable. You see what I'm saying? And it's my heart, it's my desire, and I know it's Renaud's desire, and I believe that the majority of people here, if not all of us here, we want to be that group of people where a broken person comes in and feels loved, accepted, cared for, that we want to restore these people. We want to see God change their lives. I love that verse in the song that we sang, How He Loves Us. Then heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. You know? Like, that's what we want to see here at this church. We want to see heaven meet earth like a sloppy, goofy, wet kiss. You know, that first kiss and you're like, that was the weirdest thing I've ever felt, but it was awesome, you know? Now, kids, don't listen to me. Ever. But that's the reality. Like, God wants to meet us where we're at. And we're all in a goofy, weird place. But when he intersects our life, it's incredible. It's like crazy and weird and awkward and we don't know what to do with it, but it's, we want to do it again, you know? Like, and that's the community of believers that God has called us to be, a place where people can come and get that first sloppy wet kiss from God. Not to be all feely, touchy, and lovey-dovey, but the reality is that God wants to change our lives, and he wants to make us new, and he wants to make us beautiful again, and he wants to make us whole again for the first time. But first, we have to realize that we're messed up, broken, and we need Jesus, and we need each other. So, I don't want to leave us here thinking that, you know, this is one big old group, big fat group of totally jacked up people and, you know, whatever, like, okay, well, I'm totally messed up and I've got no hope for anything beyond that. So I'm going to jump into some more scripture. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's on page 802 of our Mosaic Bibles. See, it's the beauty of being a part of the body of Christ that as we become a part of this community of freedom, we begin to reflect the glory of God more and more and more. You see, the mosaic that we start out with our broken, messed up lives, it's beautiful because God did it. But as we continue to knit ourselves with one another into community, we become more beautiful and more beautiful and more beautiful. I'm going to prove it to you in Scripture, so don't take my word for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of the Lord are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord." It doesn't come from us. It comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Guys, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And he is going to take us, this broken, shattered piece of a person that we've created, first of all, with our own sin, with our own guilt, with our own problems, with our own issues, the things that also maybe other people have done, all of these different things. We come broken and tattered and torn, but the blood of Jesus washes over us and makes us new. And that, again, we sang that song, Hosanna, tonight. You make all things new. And he does. He does. It's not just a song. It's true. And God, he makes us new, and then we begin to reflect his glory more and more and more. And together we become renewed, and we reflect his glory more and more and more. And it becomes a more beautiful picture than it was ever before. And every day it becomes more and more beautiful. And meanwhile, we have broken people that are coming and they're being added to our number daily. And people are saying, "Man, I'm messed up and I need Jesus and I need community." And we're saying, "Come on, come. This is the place. This is the place that you can be set free, that you can be redeemed, that you can be made new." And we say, "Come on, be a part of our picture." It's a little goofy sometimes, but we're becoming more and more like Christ together. So I love that verse of Scripture. I love that the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and that as we allow the Spirit to work more in us, he reflects his glory more and more and more. It's an awesome, awesome thing. I want to close with one more Scripture. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. You know, again, we come to the table messed up, and we come to the table broken, and Jesus begins his work in us, and the Holy Spirit begins his work in us, and we together become more and more like him. And at a certain point, we really begin to walk in maturity as a church. And I think that we're beginning to walk into maturity as a church. I mean, we're still a young church. We're about, 6 years old? And we're starting to see this, and it's this wonderful picture of Christ as he begins the process of maturity in our lives. And this is what Philippians chapter 2 says. Paul is encouraging the church, and I believe it would be his encouragement to us today. Renaud had us memorize this, so it should be familiar to some of us. But it's so true, and I really believe that the result of a mosaic, a community of believers that comes together realizing their faults, realizing their need for change, realizing their need for grace, comes together, and as the Spirit works within them more and more, works within us more and more, we become more like him, and we become a little bit mature, a little bit more mature every single day. Here's what it says in Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, I certainly do. Like, it's pretty awesome to be united with Christ. If we have any comfort from his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You know, and I think of, well, what was the attitude of Jesus? And you don't have to turn here, but I'm just going to turn back to Mark real quick. Paul said it, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked him, "Which is it lawful to do on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or kill?" But the Pharisees remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. I pray that our attitude would be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That people who are religious, who are hard, and who are hateful, and who have no concept of freedom in Christ would make us angry. Angry. And that we would turn to the broken person, to the battered person, to the unloved, to the unwhole, to the bound. Say, be whole. In Jesus' name, be whole. That's the gospel. It's the gospel that Jesus makes people whole. That's my prayer, is that our attitude would be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Whatever the cost, you know, it got Jesus killed. Might cost us a little bit to have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. But it's my prayer.